Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, November 27th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter How It Works on page 60. We'll be reading and commenting on the fourth paragraph that begins, the first requirement is, and ends, is more likely to have varied traits. Today's readers, and thank you for your service in November, the 12 steps, Susan R., the 12 traditions, Bonnie B., readers of the text, Sherry D., Vanessa G., our backup is Reva P., our newcomer greeter, Loretta M., our second hour host is Roz G., and announcements will be given by Janice P.M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, November 26, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,943. That's 21,943. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,944. That's 21944. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Susan R. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Susan R. From Rhode Island, and thank you for having had this opportunity in November for this service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan R. And I'll now ask Bonnie B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for allowing me to be of service. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered living in the state of Florida today. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, decline outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence our OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than on promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And step 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does require that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book in the chapter How It Works. On page 60, we'll be reading and commenting on the fourth paragraph that begins, the first requirement is, and ends, is more likely to have varied traits. And I will ask Sherry D. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Tribe. Sherry D., compulsive eater in Maryland. So very grateful to be here this morning. The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. But as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits. Wow, this is a lot to unpack. So first, it says the first requirement. The first requirement of what? We're at step 3. The paragraph before says, being convinced we were at step 3. What are we supposed to do? How do we do this? So the first requirement is being convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. When I came into the program of a different recovery 44 years ago, I looked at the first step. I admitted I was powerless and my life was unmanageable. And I had a long list of people that were the reason why my life was unmanageable. And I shared that with my sponsor and she smiled and said, keep coming back. because she knew that this step was there. This is the step that shows me that when I'm an actor, my job is not to write, direct, and produce. That's not my job. I am shown over and over again that when I try to, run my self-will, run the show, it doesn't work. Life is unpredictable. It's uncontrollable. Other people have their own wills and agendas, and they're usually not aligned perfectly with mine. But what I really love about this paragraph is if you were as fortunate as I was when I came into OA and got a sponsor who gave me a homework assignment for the third step, the homework assignment was taking this paragraph that I just read through the end to step this third step prayer. I had to say that out loud to three people in first person. I had to own it. I had to remind myself, saying that out loud, that I am that is running the show. True peace comes not from manipulating circumstances and people, but from aligning myself with a higher power and practicing humility. And this is where it ends with that third step prayer. I started my day off this morning on my knees with the third step prayer. I'm not an on my knees kind of gal. That is not who I am. That's not who I was. That's who I've become, because I've become willing to go to any length to get what you all have. And these are the directions that the people who have come before me have used so that I can be free today. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I will keep coming back.
Thank you, Sherry D., for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on Monday or Tuesday on any of the vision meetings, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to share on what was read?
K.S.
Kim
N. Roz G.
Kim
II.
Anne-Marie. Roz.
Kim H.
Kim H. Thank you. I got you.
Ken
W. H.
Ken W.H., thank you.
Okay,
Gail, did you get Reva P.?
Oh, thank you, Reva.
Gail H. from Seattle, Washington.
Okay, so let me read what I got. I think I missed someone. Someone F. I missed that person. That was the very first person.
K.S.
Okay, thank you, K.S. Kim H., Anne-Marie M., Roz G., Bossa O., Ken W.H., Reva P., and Gail H. That's a great lineup. Did I miss somebody? Okay. K.S., you're up, followed by Kim H.
Good morning. This is K.S., compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Oh, this is such a powerful paragraph. It's such an eye-opener. And what I discover as I'm in this program longer is that when I was in the food over the years many times, I was not able to see any of these things. It really was true. Not only was I trying to be the director and of everything and everyone, I didn't see it. It was subtle. I know now it wasn't subtle, but my perspective was fogged. And when the food is clogging up my life, then my eyes are cloudy. I'm not able to see, lots of things, but I'm not able to see how this paragraph was true. It's just, I couldn't see my involvement. I couldn't see my interfering, my manipulating and trying to control people in my life and wanting to control the hours that I work my job or how everybody else is behaving. Until I put the food down and really started working these steps and really dug in deeply to see, and a lot of set-aside prayer too going on, to realize that all this is true, and also to see in new ways through doing my inventory just how those character defects kind of wormed their way in over my life, over the years of my life, and that I'm powerless over those. I'm as powerless over those as I am over my addiction. And that's been a painful but real awakening. Oops, somebody's unmuted. And so it's today, with the food down and my perspective clearer, my eyes unclouded, I can take this sort of hard look at myself. It's not fun, but knowing that I don't have to have the power to overcome all these things, that this is done by my higher power, who is higher than my food also. And I'm able to, one day at a time, following these directions, you know, step into a life each day that is freer of these character defects as I go along. And I'm just so grateful for this program that gives me the tools to live the kind of life that I really, really hope to live. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, KS. And Kim H., you're up, followed by Anne-Marie M. Kim, press star one. We can't hear you.
Hi, I'm Kim H. from Michigan.
Okay, thank you.
And definitely an overeater. This was a great paragraph. When I was a child, my mother used to say, self will run riot, and I never knew what it meant. And then when I got into recovery, I knew what it meant. And, I was a man, before I got into recovery, I was a supervisor. And I was in charge of everything. And, so I thought I was. And, a supervisor is like a mother, you know. And then, but it's just this illusion, you know, you have in your brain that you're in charge of everything. But in charge isn't the right word. I don't know what the right word is, but it's a good paragraph. I'm just working on prayer and that conscious contact and surrender. And that's it. I'm just starting to deal with this food addiction, the sugar addiction, and it's all new to me, but I believe this seems to be the core issue. And that's it. I'm grateful to be, I guess a part of this group or this vision, if you will. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim H. And Anne-Marie M., you're up, followed by Roz G.
Good morning. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, recovering in OA, and gratefully recovering. What stood out to me was this one word, it's two words, but self-propulsion. Most people try to live by self-propulsion, and that's what I was doing last week when to pick up food. You know, that was my choice, and I let go of God's hand. It was self-reliance, self-propulsion. Those two words, self-propulsion and self-reliance. I saw my character defects glaring. I saw jealousy. I saw anger. I saw resentment. And what did I do about it? I relied on self. I didn't have time to deal with looking at what was going on. I thought I could handle those feelings, and I obviously can't. I need God. I need the third step. I need to turn my will and my life over the care of God, and that means that I cannot live by self-propulsion. I cannot expect people to do things the way that I want them to do. I must live in the solution. And this particular meeting, Vision for You, has shown me that the solution is a relationship with God. Because this meeting lives by, I like to say, most of the people that are in recovery are recovered, live in the solution. They live by the principles that are in this book, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the solution in this big book is a relationship with God. So I must live not by self-propulsion, but by looking to God for the answers and recognizing when I need help. You know, I did recognize I needed help. I'm going to say that, but I didn't. It was self-reliance. I just thought I could do it on my own. And when I was in the midst of the anger and the self-pity and the jealousy, it was, you know, if people would just do what I wanted them to do, the show would have been great. You know, the show would have been great. I would have been happy.
Time?
You know, in those moments. Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Anne-Marie M. And Roz G., you're up, followed by Vasa O.
Okay, good morning. Thank you. This is Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale. I slept through the check-in. Sorry about that, but I'm here. And this paragraph tells me how what I tried to do to get my way, precisely how I tried to do to get my way before recovery, before the 12 steps, before deeply looking at my character defects in 6 and 7, meaning changing them. And this paragraph, you know, just told me who I was. And just like the other, you know, shares that I heard this morning, I wanted to run the show. I wanted to be the director. And the director of a Hollywood movie tells the actors what to do. And actors, you know, this may be kind of making a blanket statement, but sometimes they notoriously have a big ego. And if you have a bunch of actors on the set, egotistical, filled with themselves actors on the set, it's not, they're going to do whatever they want to do, and they're not going to have a good production. Or same with dancers. The dancers need a director to tell them what to do. And you have a bunch of actors filled with them, or dancers filled with themselves, are going to dance all over the place. The production will not go well. So I wanted to do that. You know, I wanted to get my way, whether I was going to be mean and manipulative, especially with my former husband, or sticky sweet and BS, you know, kind. Any way I could do to get my way, to get my way, whether it was with food or with something that I wanted in life or some situation to go my way. And it's not pretty. And looking at that was not fun. But today, when I look at this paragraph, I talk with my sponsees about it. We go over it. And I said, can you identify with being someone who wants to run the whole show, who wants to get your way? And I've not had one person tell me no. Every single one of them tells me yes. So this big book, you know, gives me a right view of myself. But it also shows me later on in the book that our love and tolerance is our code, and that patience, kindliness, and tolerance of others is the way to go. And so, you know, one sponsor or a couple of them had me write in, you know, in my book, Roz, you know, when I was on this step, you're never going to get your way again. One day at a time. And if you practice these, you know, these directions, you're going to thank me for it. And that has been the truth. And I'm not perfect. Sometimes I think I may try to do this stuff, but I catch it real quick because I'm not blocked from the sunlight of the spirit today. So with that, I pass and thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Thanks for checking in. And Vasa O, you're up, followed by Ken WH.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Florida. And when I came for the first time at the meeting, I was ready to admit I was powerless over the food addiction. I really had a hard time admitting that my life was unmanageable. It's strictly I came for the food, I came for the vanity, and I stayed for the sanity. That's what I kept on hearing in those days. And I was just going to lose the weight, and I was just going to go home and be okay, you know. And I did the first three steps. I can, he can, and I will let him. But it was with the food. I surrender with the food. God, I'll surrender 150, 200 times. I don't care. But with my life and my will, I thought I was doing good. I was being a good manager. They're talking, and this paragraph was really wake up for me. I was like the actress, and I was like a puppet. You could turn me one way and do one way, and do another way. You know, just twist me around. This is how I thought the last paragraph, the last few sentences. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest, and self-sacrificing. And that's how I saw myself at that time. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistic, selfish, and dishonest. But as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits. And I forgave myself, you know, when I read the last sentence. Well, I'm a human being and I have all kinds of traits, but I'm here to recover in that area too, not with just the food addiction, with my life and my will in other areas. And then I started trusting God, my higher power. He was doing giving me the power, he would give me the strength to be abstinent one day at a time, one meal at a time. Somebody's unmuted. Oh, maybe it's my time. One meal at a time, one day at a time. And then I started trusting God, my higher power, in these areas, in looking at step four and seeing all the character traits. And I remember saying, well, if my kids obeyed me, if everybody did what I want them to do, then I won't be nagging. I wouldn't tell them what to do and how to do. So I'm just so grateful that I continued and continued with the rest of the steps. And thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. And Ken WH, you're up, followed by Reva P.
Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Excuse me. The first requirement, I'm always go back to the paragraph before on this, being convinced we were at step three, and as has already been said, that we're invited to do that again. Be convinced. I believe that the first four chapters of the book and the doctor's opinion are all about an attempt to convince me that I have this thing. Bill's story is so powerful of him trying to do it himself, and I had to come to terms with that. I also find it rather interesting that being convinced we were at step three, sort of, because step three is addressed again in about 2.5 pages, when later we are told we are now at step three, And that's immediately followed by the prayer, the third step prayer. And frankly, everything in between is just ongoing effort to make me profoundly aware that I still want to do it myself, that there's something inside of me that drives that. And I'm convinced at some level, some way, I can do this. And that has to be smashed. And then the next couple of pages try to reconvince me to make sure that I've got this thing, that I've got this principle, that I am, in fact, deeply convinced that I cannot do this on my own, and that really step three is simply, the way I put it, if I take that whole, these next 2.5 pages out, I go from, we are now at step three, God, I offer myself. In other words, step three is simply saying out loud that I can't do this. I need God desperately. I need a power greater than myself desperately to stay abstinent in this program. That's all I have to share. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Ken W.H. And Reva P., you're up, followed by Gail H.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. So here I am at step three, being asked to turn my thinking and my actions over to a power greater than myself, as I understand them, him, her. And I love how it tells me exactly, how do I do this? How do I turn my will and my life over? My whole life I'm turning over. This is not about the food anymore. All I have to do, and you know, it's hilarious, pages 60 to 63 in my book are all like falling out, because how many times has somebody said, Reva, go back and read pages 60 to 63, because here you are again, self-will run riot, in abstinence, I can still be that way. All I have to be convinced of here, I have to firmly believe that when I run the show, it doesn't work. Like, how's that working for you, Reva? And it's so much more than the food. It's, you know, I thought this was just about getting my food, quote, under control, and then getting on with my life. But pages 60 to 63 show me that this is so much more. This is about my thinking, and my thinking drives my actions. And my actions, when I'm into self and not in alignment with power, with the God of my understanding, this is what my life looks like. And I am in collision, like I'm banging up against people. I can be nice, I can be not nice. It doesn't matter. It doesn't work, because it's based on false thinking. I didn't really know what the thinking was until I started doing steps 4 through 9, but I certainly knew that something wasn't working. No matter how much I tried, no matter how much more effort I put into beyond the food, in my relationships, in my life, I wasn't working, and I says I wasn't happy. I wasn't content, even when I got what I wanted. So to me, this is like living in the if-onlys, right? In the if-onlys. If only she would do this. If only my boss would do that. If only I had more money. If only, life would be great. It's all based on my belief of what I think is best for me. There is no God. Absolutely no God here, and I get miserable whether I get what I want or I don't get what I want. So I love that pages 60 to 63, before I get to the step three prayer, convinces me, how is this working for you? And this disease is so much more than about the substance, my thinking and my actions, and that determines my whole life. And so I go on to do the work to see what that is and then, you know, turn things around. But I'm only at step three. All I have to know is it's not working for me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. And Gail H., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Gail H. from Seattle, Washington. Thank you all for your wonderful shares and your service, and this program has meant so much to me. And I think one of the things that focus this year has been Bill's statement about unconscious arrogance. And that brings me to this last part of the paragraph, is I really didn't know what it was to be human. I didn't understand that human beings, by nature, are going to make mistakes, are going to be clumsy, are going to forget things, are going to stumble. And every time the recognition is there with God's grace and help, that behavior gets interrupted and the possibility of looking or thinking or doing is different as a result. And that part has been so helpful in this past year, starting with 3 days before Thanksgiving last year. My husband of 50 years died, and on Thanksgiving Day, I had my first medical event that there would be more for this next year, so that my limitations were remarkable. I'm just beginning to walk. Maybe I can drive a little bit. And in God's world, this is exactly what has put me in a place of recognizing powerlessness, of learning things I never knew before. It's not just not running the show, although I even try in my limited position to do that. It's about gracefully accepting help. And boy, this is a different journey. And through all the medical and hospitals, and I have decades of abstinence and more decades in this program, I'm now in a position of having to follow new directions that I am not good at all. And I recognize my kindergarten spiritual self. Bill talked about spiritual kindergarten. And spiritual kindergarten is exactly where I'm at in these new undeveloped behaviors. So thank you, God. Thank you, Vision. And thank you for, in some ways, the limitations that has brought about a strange kind of more peace in my life than has ever been there. And more opportunities, although I don't see them that way, and I am human and resistant. Oh, my goodness, I'm amazed how resistant. But also so grateful. And thank you all.
Thank you, Gail H. And we are on page 60 in the chapter, How It Works. Reading, we've read the fourth paragraph that begins, the first requirement is, and ends, more likely to have varied traits, comments on that one paragraph. Who else would like to share this morning?
Priscilla H.
Priscilla.
Mary C. from Massachusetts.
Mary C. I have Priscilla H. and Mary C. Anybody else?
Cheryl L.
Natalie
F.
Cheryl and Natalie.
Jane S. New Hampshire.
Jane F. Okay. All right, let's go with these. I'll tell you who I have. I have Priscilla H., Mary C., Cheryl L., I believe, Natalie, and you'll have to give me the first initial of your last name, Jane F. Priscilla, you're up, followed by Mary.
Okay, thank you so much, Priscilla H., grateful to be physically recovered and otherwise recovering from my food addiction. And I'm living in New Jersey, and I've found that when there's a big book passage that baffles me or even sometimes annoys me, it turns out that there's something special in it for me to learn. And this theater thing was like that for me. I would read it and I would think, I don't want to do that. I knew I did not want to be the director. I did not want to be the actors on the stage. Excuse me. I didn't even want to be behind the stage mending the costumes. But I knew I wanted to be there for the in the theater, and I could see and I could feel my assigned seat downstairs, way over on the left, not on the aisle, but a couple of seats away from it. So, and it felt like I had a role. So what was my role? I was the critic. You know, that's the one who writes the column, maybe for the New York Times or for some other newspaper. They write a column and they talk about who was great last night and who was not great and who needs to go back to acting school and so forth. And maybe they don't sign it with their own real name. And God said during one of the intermissions, I guess, God said to me, wait a minute, this is not a regular play. This is therapeutic improv theater, and I'm the director. And there is no script. And each volunteer that's willing to come up on the stage has their own story. And if I need you to come up to the stage, I'll let you know. Meanwhile, please just sit there and watch and listen, and you just might learn something. Oh, so with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Priscilla H. And Mary C., you're up, followed by Cheryl L. Mary C., press star one. We can't hear
yep,
you.
I have it. Thank you.
There you
I'm
are.
Sorry. Thank
okay.
you so much. Boy, this paragraph is definitely me all the way. No doubt about it. I had to run the show, do everything, be in control. And as a little girl, we were always told, I'm the youngest of eight, you're powerful. You can do anything. Don't ask anybody for anything. And that's how I lived my life. You know, I did it all, as Frank Sinatra says, I did it my way. And where did my way get me? Deeper and deeper into that rabbit hole where I was totally buried. I've been in program for 24 years, and I've been just in and out of the food, in and out, get a few months here, there. But it was coming into this meeting, I have to say, back May 1st. I'll keep saying it. I'm so grateful for so many beautiful, healthy people. I've been on many, many phone meetings. And I tell you, this is the best meeting I've ever been on. And I got my abstinent that day. And I've been abstinent ever since. And it feels so good. And I'm a baker and I'm a cook right now. That's why I couldn't get to the phone quick enough. I was trying to take my pie out of the oven. I sell pies and cakes and whatever, all kinds of food, even meals. And everybody says, I can't believe it. You don't even taste it? I said, it doesn't even turn me on. You know, I always knew I had a God in my – I always knew believed in God, but I didn't believe God was there for me. And when I realized he was there for me and that he loved me unconditionally no matter what, because that's the first time anybody has ever loved me unconditionally. There was always strings attached. And I guess I was the same way too. You know, you reap what you sow, you do what you learned, you know, and that's what I learned. You know, if you be good, if you do this, I'll love you, you know. And I've learned so much. I've just learned so much. I'm so grateful that I had a weight problem, that I got into OA, and that I finally got here. I just wished I had gotten into Vision a lot sooner. But everything happens in God's time. And, you know, it mentioned self-will run wild. I was running in circles. And I also thought, if my husband at the time would just do X, Y, and Z, if my kids would just do this. Well, you know what? I got divorced. My kids grew up and left home, and I was still in that crazy, crazy world, you know, collision with something or somebody all the time. I always had an issue with somebody just about every single solitary day. And today, thank you. I'll wrap up. I'll end. Thank you. You all have a blessed day and happy Thanksgiving to you all. And thank you so much for what you've given me. Now I need to give it away. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary C. And Cheryl L., you're up, followed by Natalie.
Good morning. This is Cheryl L. from Florida. Can I be heard okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Great. Very grateful to be on the meeting this morning and grateful for all of the shares. I learned so much from you all. You're my teachers. And I'm very grateful to be reading this today. My life was run on self-will and can still be run on self-will today. You know, my character defects still crop up on a daily basis. And when I read this paragraph, it reminds me, you know, that my patience, my tolerance, you know, those levels can get tested. And I have to stay with my higher power every minute of every day in order to keep these things in check, to not be judgmental, not be thinking that I know how the show is supposed to go, right? And, you know, I really appreciate the shares that just kind of brought that visual to life for me of the director trying to run the show. If I'm an actor in that show, it's not my job. It's not my job to be telling the director how this should go. It's not my job to be telling, you know, the manager of our office. We have a new manager. It's not my job to tell him how this office should run. It's my job to be of service, you know, and that's how I go into work every day is, how can I be of service? And I fall short, but I keep trying, and I keep asking myself that question. You know, how am I to be of service today to God and to my fellows? And you know what? The instant does come. You know, in the morning when I do my quiet time, those moments of inspiration come to me as to what I can do to help somebody who might be struggling. You know, my brother is battling cancer right now, and he's finished his treatments, but he's still waiting to find out if the treatments work. So he's coming up for Thanksgiving, and you know, how can I be of service to him? I can be the strong sister. I can be optimistic and positive, and give him hope and listen to him. And so, you know, I'm not trying to run the show today. I'm just trying to be a player, and to keep busy. You know, keep on the firing stream of life. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cheryl L. And Natalie, if you'll give us the first initial of your last name, you're up, followed by Jane S.
Hi. Yeah, this is Natalie S. in Indiana. And, you know, I'm in a place where I am back to the shame and remorse and this quickly. So not only do I have the disease of compulsive eating, anorexia, and overexercise, but I also have some sort of autoimmune thing, right? That's undiagnosed. And I don't have a full-time job, and life is crazy. But here's what happened is that I discovered with my sponsor's help that when I picked up a food that really destroys my energy physically and my mind, it goes so stinking crazy. And that happened 2 days ago. And, you know, the common man might say, oh, well, what does oatmeal have to do with it? Well, it has everything to do with it for me. If it's not on my food plan, if I have not submitted it, what God gratefully showed me in a limited way is that I haven't fully conceded step three. And what I've learned through all of you is that that's a step two problem. I have expectations, and at the core of it for me, God just shoots an arrow right to my heart and to the people that I know in this program that love me, and they're like, well, maybe you should consider what you're entitled to, because I have not forgiven my family. I expect them. I have expectations. I'm jealous. I'm envious, and I keep struggling with that. And at the core of it, I expect that my life should be the way I want it, and God's not doing that. And the truth of it is, any time I have an expectation or I feel entitled, I'm learning that I'm setting myself up for pure destruction, for what I believe to be evil to come in and seep into all the cracks and say, you know, it's really not going to hurt you. It's all those little lies that kind of confound me and say, you know, just, you're making this all up in your head. Well, no, I'm not making it all up. And by at least following the disciplines, there's a fellow, I think, that met a nun who has a, who calls God Sid, and I love that. I even put it on the car God gave me as a license plate, strength, inspiration, and direction. But today, it's God's discipline. And he's reminding me that anything I feel entitled to is false. All I'm entitled to is another day of living, of love and service to him, so that I can be of service to you. And I'm grateful that this program has shown me that, because what I really want is freedom. I really want freedom, and only God can give that to me. So thank you all for your shares. I come from a family of actors, and I, oh my gosh, it feels so crazy. And the truth is, I want to be seen, but I don't want to be seen. I want to be acknowledged, but I don't want to be acknowledged. And all of that is my self-will, Ron Wyatt. So anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Natalie S. And Jane S., please share with us.
Yes, good morning. My name is Jane S., as in Sparks. S. as in Sparks. My name. I am a real compulsive overeater. I haven't shared in a little bit because I had been in a funky place, and I just felt like I needed to listen. I think God was showing me that I needed to listen, and I'm just so grateful to be here today with this group of people. Healthy people is what I just heard, and I thank you for everyone who makes this meeting possible. I, too, will echo and can ditto pretty much everything everybody said, and the gratitude in my heart today of everything that I learn here is amazing. You know, I grew up thinking that I needed to control. I was told early on, you know, Jane, the teachers were right, you know, she's a great student if she could just learn to keep her mouth shut, you know, and she's a great leader, and so I took that leader thing to the nth degree throughout my whole life, actually, my whole career, and it did me a lot of good, but it also did me not a lot of good, and I have realized of late in my life, I think, that in hindsight, I tried to control everything and everyone to protect myself. And what's different this time for me is that in my four-step work this time around, when I was looking at my part, I could see every single situation I was trying to play God. You know, I was trying to run the show. Even when I didn't want to be, I didn't how not to be. So that's what God's teaching me today, and I love, there's a woman who talks about God loves me and will protect me, and I didn't understand that, but I had to let go with both hands and really look at how I was trying to control every area of my life and instead give that up to God to help me with every day, and I do that in my quiet time, give it up. All areas of my life, and I lift them out today. Sometimes it's people, situations, circumstances, all of it, and just try to let it go and then just be. And it doesn't mean I sit on the couch and eat bonbons or watch Netflix all day long. I have to go out and do things, but I can do them with God's help and God's love and protection, and I feel that today. And my food, the neutrality around food is amazing. I too, I'm a chef. I'm Italian. I love to eat. I love to cook. That's my identity with my family and my whole career. And I can still do it today. I don't do it a lot, but I can do things. I just cooked my gentleman friend breakfast that was not my breakfast. I cooked him breakfast, delivered it to him. He's eating his breakfast, and I'm eating mine, and I was on the meeting. And he's like, oh, my gosh, that's God. That's when I get out of the way. No more self-propulsion for me other than doing the right things that God wants me to do today. If that makes any sense, hopefully I give someone some hope. It is there, and it's taken many, many years to get to the place I am today. I'm very grateful that I'm right here, right now. Thank you, everyone, and I pass.
Thank you, Jane S., and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for an unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, November 27th, 2024, Eastern Time meeting, is 21,949. That's 21949. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Reva P., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Yes, hi, this is Reva P. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.